Welcome to Ask the CIO, brought to you by Learning Tree International. And now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. Today, we're playing portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Taracek, the Chief Information Officer for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Mr. Taracek opens the conversation with an update on the Intelligence Community IT Enterprise, or ISITE, program. Taracek says ISITE is a program that is part consolidation of IT and part integration of data and services for all 17 agencies in the intelligence community.
Our goals are, if you translate those into goals, it really is about effectiveness for the community, it's about security, and it's about efficiency. And the message is that in the past, these were mutually exclusive, but these three things are no longer mutually exclusive because we believe that cloud technologies, price points that we can obtain those technologies today, some of the developments that we have invested in the community with regard to security of data and things like that now allow us to actually move down a vector, which is a vector that addresses all three at the same time. So effectiveness, efficiencies, and security as well. This is not considered a major program or a major acquisition from a budget or that kind of planning, a sense of planning. It really is leveraging the investments that were made and have been made in the IC agencies, their IT investments. Basically, if I could just wrap this up, every agency had invested in IT architecture heading on similar paths, cloud technologies, thin clients, VDIs, a lot of focus on data rather than network protections. What we are doing in ISITE really is harmonizing those architectures to establish over time a common architecture, a common platform for the community. Thus, what it is not this gigantic program that has a billion milestones and we have IOC and FOC dates, hard set dates. It really is a series of projects that basically the agencies are already executing that we are just revectoring slightly to achieve this commonality across the community. The second part of that is that they, while they may have been only addressing their internal requirements, we have asked them to expand their requirements to include all of IC requirements at the same time.
ODNI CIO Taracek says ISITE is an incremental program where different systems and tools will become available when they're ready. Taracek talks about the recent milestone ISITE met.
The work that we started not only leverages the investments that were being made by the agencies, but also a lot of the work that had been done by the four combat support agencies, that would be NSA, DIA, NGA, and NRO. They call themselves the Quad, and they were heading towards consolidation of various pieces of the IT infrastructure already prior to us starting down this path of ISITE. So they had already done some legwork on a common desktop. They had looked at some networks that they were going to start to plan for consolidation of. So we're leveraging those activities as well. So I talked a lot about architecture. The more significant part of this is it's not about the technical architecture. It's really about the change in the business model. So the business model today is very much agencies provide for themselves. The business model that we are trying to implement is what we call a service provider-based business architecture or model, where we've selected, of the big five agencies, we selected one of them or multiple of them to become the providers of certain parts of services that we designated as part of this overall architecture. The cloud infrastructure, which consists of kind of the lower layers of IT, that will be both the bare metal kind of hosting, the analytics that will be on that hosting, the virtual capabilities, the storage capabilities. The most advanced agencies in the community that already moved out as far as that part of it are CIA and NSA, and we purposely selected the two of them in partnership to provide what we're calling the IC Cloud. The IC Cloud is not something that's going to be out on the Internet. It's privately hosted inside the intelligence community according to our security standards and under our security watch. We are moving towards a single desktop for the community. So that means that over time, we will evolve every agency to use the same software baseline, and in many cases, consolidate that baseline to use central services. So instead of every agency building their own desktop, software desktop, which they do today, we will build once and use by all. they'll have common collaboration services that people will be able to use, common email, those kinds of things. And then the other concept that we're implementing is called an applications mall that'll have application stores in them. And the idea here is to begin to rationalize the number of applications across the community that might be redundant or that may be needed. We can develop once and use by many. We are basing the initial architecture for that based on the Ozone widget framework that NSA has used a lot of, has proliferated across the community. And so NSA is the provider of that service for us, the applications mall. They're kind of the governor, we call it, for managing the mall. And then every agency can have a store within that mall. Some of the lessons learned here is that we may decide to move to a central store for all the community. So we're going through that right now. I'll talk a little bit more about lessons learned here towards the end. I forgot to mention the desktop is being produced by NGA and DIA as partners. The other service that we've asked an agency to provide for us is NRO. They have been designated as the Network Requirements and Engineering Service. So they're not going to provision networks, but they're going to look at how we connect both our local area networks and our wide area networks and try to find a more efficient model, one that actually improves our effectiveness as well.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're playing portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Jurasik, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. LearningTree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. LearningTree is on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with LearningTree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live hands-on instructor-led courses at one of 10 LearningTree centers conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia Fulton, Manassas, Stafford Quantico, DC Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is LearningTree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We are playing portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Jurasik, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Before break, Mr. Jurasik was providing an update on the progress with the Intelligence Community IT Enterprise, or ISITE, program. During this part of the show, he starts off by describing how the intelligence community will pay for these new services.
The services that I described will either be centrally funded, what we call base funded, appropriated directly to that organization, or through a cost recovery model. And we're still going through the planning for that, which ones are which. We believe that the ones that we need to manage user demand of, we think about cloud utilization, think about those kinds of things where you want to control the demand, those would probably be more under a cost recovery model. Those that would be kind of enabling services for the infrastructure, think of security, possibly enterprise management, those might be more of the kind that we would put under centrally funded, but that's still to be determined. And then probably the most difficult piece of this is managing the change. When you think about how wide scale this is, trying to multiple agencies towards a single path, this requires leadership to be involved, and that's why the DNI and the PDNI are personally involved in managing this, as well as the directors and the deputy directors of the agencies, who get involved quite frequently in tracking big decisions and actions and making sure that work is being done. So, status-wise, on about the August 16th, we declared a milestone, which we called the initial baseline, which involves the deployment of the first instantiation of the IC desktop to a few thousand DIA NGA users. Now they are, if I remind you again, they are the providers of the desktop. They're developing the single desktop for the community, and they determined early on that they would be the first ones to deploy that new desktop too. some ways it's a little bit easier because they're kind of modeling off of the work that they've already done internally. We also stood up the first instantiation of the IC cloud with both storage, data hosting, and then virtual hosting capabilities. And the application mall went online as well with a number of applications registered in the mall that folks across the community can use. The cloud is, and the capabilities of the cloud are available to not just the users on a couple thousand desktops, but also to the legacy users. So everyone in the community, everyone who's connected up to the TSSEI networks within agencies across the community can access the capabilities in iSight right now. Along with that, there's enabling services like enterprise management. So we needed that. We needed central security monitoring of those capabilities and all that, as I call, enabling services are in place to ensure that all that's going well. In the coming year, and remember I mentioned this is incremental, and the planning for this is incremental as well, one thing we're going to do is ensure the resilience of the current infrastructure instantiations to make sure that we can move more production capabilities into it. And then we will scale beyond what we have right now, scale the number of desktops, scale the amount of data that's in the cloud. We will bring in new services as well. So enterprise management will begin to grow. Security monitoring, we intend to establish a central service to monitor end-to-end security of the of iSight. And at the same time, agencies are planning for their transitions into iSight. And so they've already had several iterations of their plans, and now that we have real capabilities in place, we will begin to execute those transition plans.
One of the biggest challenges for the intelligence community in implementing the IT Enterprise Program known as iSight will be coming to terms on standard policies and funding models. Jurassic says ODNI helped develop the business case for the new services.
We may even attempt to do some mock billing this coming year, which is always a good thing when you're dealing with change management to show customers what costs are and what the expectations are for reliability and things like that. And so we're doing the entire, all the business planning and all the necessary documentation to ensure that everything is in place as we begin to scale. And then one last point on lessons learned. Never underestimate the organization and cultural change that takes place whenever you try to implement something like this. It's a pretty broad scale implementation. It will become that, so having leadership involved from the beginning is very important, and as we go forward, we're learning how important that is, even more important. You know, it's even interesting to, even when you're trying to provide an enhanced service to users wherever they are in the community, the cultural aspects of the change, it's kind of just natural to allow them to run through their typical cycle of change. That I'm not saying there's resistance, but you would think that people would appreciate more the fact that you're giving them some new capabilities and better capabilities, but it's just, I think it's just a natural process to get through that. The other lesson learned that most of us who run big IT programs know is that it always takes longer than you plan. There's always going to be hiccups. There's always going to be things that you have to address that weren't planned for. As much as you try to plan, you always have to be flexible and adjustable. So one of the things that I think is important that we have done, besides just deploying this initial capability, is the end-to-end agreed-upon security architecture that was implemented and tested to ensure that the proper security controls, which are the IC standards for security, were implemented and tested for the end-to-end system. That's from the desktop all the way through the cloud infrastructure. And that was a big deal for us. It's kind of the foundational element of iSight will remain that. It's also the glue that kind of integrates all these activities together.
After that introduction of iSight, Jurassic took questions from reporters. I asked him about cybersecurity and how ODNI is managing the roles and responsibilities around data sharing. This is something every agency struggles with.
That's a mission process that's really governed by data stewards. The way that we're structuring the community is that the DNI, through the directors of agencies, have set up data stewards for various data sets. So at the highest level, think about all the data that CIA collects. That's under the stewardship of the director of CIA. And they are responsible for defining who has access and what the security bar is for that level of information. And there's multiple levels within any one of the agencies. So that's ultimately how it's decided. And there's business processes around that. I think some of those business processes have to evolve to become more community processes over time.
I guess one of the concerns that I've heard is the reciprocity issue, going back to security clearances and such. And I know that the IC has come far with policies, and I've heard things are better, but it's still, yeah, you have that security clearance, but really, do you have it, and do I trust it? Are you seeing reciprocity happening?
So the trend, and this is as far as I can go on this one, but the trend is that it's improving, is what you said. And I think the fact that we're so focused on implementing this ISAC capability actually has raised the awareness, so these things are getting addressed more quickly.
The security architecture came up in another question from a reporter. The question centered on the security model ISAC is implementing.
So I got to be careful what I say here, because much of what we do, we certainly want to keep internal, and it's classified. But I can give you just in general, one thing we're doing is we have an agreed-to security architecture and standards across all 17 elements. What we will do in our IC cloud infrastructure, and that would be provided by both CIA and NSA, is to implement those standards and then make sure that data sets all have the right kinds of tagging in there. So data, in fact, can be better protected than it might be today for all IC users to use. We plan to use some level of encryption depending on sensitivity of data. That's still being worked. And so administrators, which is kind of a very important element here, will be properly segmented, so they only have access to the information they need in order to do their jobs. And they'll be auditing and monitoring just like we have today, but enterprise-wide, not agency-specific. So those are kind of the pillars of what we're trying to do from a security perspective. Probably about as far as I can go.
A third question about security came from a reporter asking how ODNI developed the security standards.
We developed the standards here. And what we do is we look across all 17 elements, primarily the big five, but we look across all 17 and determine if there is a standard that can meet the preponderance of what we're trying to do, if it's data or if it's something else. And then we either adjust that standard or we use it as is, and then we publish it as the IC standard. That's the process. This is not new. This has been going on for a while. So those are the standards we use. Some could come from NSA, some come from CIA, some come from others. For instance, geospatial standards. There's only one organization that does that very well, so they would come from NGA. We're creating, by asking the agencies to harmonize these architectures, we're actually creating an IT system from the bottom of the stack to the top of the stack. And by doing that, you have to have standards for how you do that. So then agencies will have to operate within those standards inside this new infrastructure. But it has to be developed from a central organization like ourselves. Otherwise, you would have, you know, food fights about which standard goes in there. So we have to ultimately determine which one meets the requirements for what we're trying to achieve. So, yes, we are implementing standards the same across the board inside the shared space of ISAC, which is the consolidated infrastructure.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today is a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're playing portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Tarasic, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. Learning Tree is on both GSA IT-70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with Learning Tree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. Simply visit their website today at learningtree.com/CIO. And even better news for the Beltways, save on travel costs and commuting time by attending live, hands-on, instructor-led courses at one of 10 Learning Tree centers conveniently located around the Washington area in Columbia, Fulton, Manassas, Stafford, Quantico, DC Metro Center, and more. Helping you achieve your agency's mission is Learning Tree's number one priority. Act now to get 50% tuition savings. Go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today's a special edition of Ask the CIO. We are playing portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Tarasic, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Before break, Mr. Tarasic discussed the security framework that the IT Enterprise Program is using. In this section of the show, he answers questions about the cloud infrastructure. Trasik says one of the biggest lessons learned came during the development stage.
Kind of in the middle of planning, we had actually anticipated that we were going to be able to deploy this initial capability a little bit sooner. But when what we discovered was that it's very hard for these agencies to worry about provisioning these services for us and at the same time integrating with their other service provider partners to ensure that the services all work together. And so we discovered that that piece of it probably wasn't being done. We asked them to do it, and we probably should have asked ourselves to do it for them. And what happened here is that we ended up doing it. We are now have taken on the system integration role to ensure that these services come together. That was kind of a bump in the road that kind of delayed us just a little bit. And that's why I say, you know, our best laid plans sometimes don't play out that way, because we thought that it was going to work out that way, but it didn't. But so we now have a capability in place to ensure that that's there, and I think it will help us going forward. We probably didn't do the right planning to insist that that work get done seamlessly. I think it was just an expectation that it would be done naturally, and when the agencies are doing two things, one is trying to provision the services, and two, trying to figure out how they adopt the other services and replace their infrastructure over time, they get caught up, you know, very much focused internally and sometimes forget about the integration with their partners. So, but the good news is we overcame that fairly quickly.
I asked Jurassic to talk more about how ODNI has taken over the systems integrator role from the managing partners. This is something many other agencies have also struggled with.
My organization, the ICCIO organization, is responsible for statutorily for enterprise architecture, for oversight of ICIT. We are also the central place where plans get made for how these things get implemented. And so it was fairly easy to determine that as part of our oversight role that we would have the oversight of the integration as well. And so how we're doing that is we have staff, government employees leading that, but we have industry participating in that through, you know, our normal acquisitions, our contracts. So we have a lot of contractors that work in my organization, much less than we did when I first started here. And we just, in fact, are going through a contract transition where we have gotten better alignment of skills to what we need to do in ISITE. So we have industry partners participating with us who are experts who are helping us through the integration. But we also have experts in the architecture work. We also have experts in portfolio management, which we have responsibilities for, and also experts in information assurance.
Now that ISITE has launched these initial capabilities, Trasik explains what it means for the intelligence community analysts.
The users who moved into the new desktop are doing their day-to-day work. There was no degradation to the capabilities that they had prior to them moving into this. What will happen over time is that the desktop will have a common email system, common collaboration tools, and it will also give us better access to data over time as we grow the data in the cloud. And so as the community starts joining in, for instance, many more users coming on the desktop, those users will then have collaboration capabilities across to other users in other agencies, which they may not have today. We include concepts like phone number for life, video conference on your desktop, just some basic capabilities that will be part of the community desktop. Not all agencies have that today. And like on collaboration tools, not all agencies can connect with each other. They have different products, networks aren't well connected sometimes. Data will incrementally evolve into the cloud over time. The beauty of what we're doing is enforcing an IC standard for all data objects that go in the cloud, where today agencies comply with security standards, but they implement them in different ways. So this is where we believe we can improve information sharing over time, because when data is structured from a tagging perspective the same way, we will then be able to implement this concept. We talk about tagging data, tagging users. We have automated systems then that will determine whether a user can have access to that data. Today, if you sit in another agency and you try to get access to certain data sets that may be in a different agency, in many cases, that data is locked down based on the way it was implemented. So what we're trying to do from a infrastructure perspective is remove those technical roadblocks that prevent that kind of sharing from going on. And so that's the big benefit of moving the data. It's not all going to be in one place, but from a virtual perspective, it'll be interconnected to the same standards and formats, so then the automated engines can determine whether a user can see the data or not.
Jurassic says with several thousand users testing out the common desktop, the plan now is to understand how it's working. I also asked them about what kind of desktop software the IC is implementing.
Right now, we're on the desktop itself. We have taken a strategic pause. We knew that we needed to get this to so many users, and we were going to stop for about 60 days and take a look at what we had done. Doesn't mean it work stops. We continue to plan for the other things we talked about. And then the goal here is to scale the rest of NGA and DIA starting later this year. We're running some prototype activities now to take what we already deployed and do some additional enhancements. So this will be a new code drop for the next version of this. What we don't want to do is start down a path and then have to take a right turn and have to go back and transition the users already onto yet something yet different than what we had done.
Jurassic says there are several priorities for EyeSight in the works for 2014 and beyond.
We're going to continue scaling after we make sure the resilience is there for production. We're going to agencies will start transition of both, you know, just compute and data and storage and the business model. And so all the things around how do you run this thing, how do you manage it, how do you finance it, we're going to do a lot more work there. Those are kind of three or four big things we're going to do over this next year. Well, initially, when we talked about EyeSight, we were thinking that by FY18, we would have, just based on the number of users in the IC, which is classified, we would have the preponderance of users on the EyeSight infrastructure by that period of time. We would also transition production capabilities and all that and have most capabilities that are part of the plan on that. By the way, we didn't use the term initial operating capability for the August milestone. I just call it a baseline capability because it's kind of the foundational piece. We're trying not to structure it as an IOC and FOC because I don't believe there will ever be an FOC because this is not a program. It will be incremental evolution to get to this platform, and then it will continue to evolve over time as well. So the timeline is that we plan on 6 months to a year incremental. So we're looking at 14 now and what we're going to do in 14. We know what our vision is, what we're trying to achieve. I still think that if we continue at the pace we're going in now, you know, the 18 time frame is probably still a year where we will have a pretty substantial number of users, mostly on the IC desktop, and then the cloud infrastructure should be built out by then.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today we played portions of a media roundtable held earlier this month by Al Taurasik, the Chief Information Officer of the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He was talking about the intelligence community's IT Enterprise or EyeSight program. If you missed any portion of this show, please visit federalnewsradio.com.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This show has been brought to you by Learning Tree International. If you missed any portion of this show, you can hear it in its entirety on demand at federalnewsradio.com.